I'm here in the Pleasant Dome again, and I'm with Tom Crawshaw, and I could interview Tom about so many other things that he's doing, but I'm actually very, very pleased to be interviewing him about a play that he's written. And have you directed it as well? You can nod if you have. Yeah,
I'm involved in that.
Okay, he's involved in that too. But also, I want to talk to him about this because I've got, I guess, a lifelong interest in the theme of this too, being a fan of Monty Python, but also a fan of biography as well. And I guess probably Fringe Review's always been interested in solo shows and solo work as well. So we've got a lot to talk about, hopefully. Okay, so Tom, the first question, though, I'm going to kind of ask you a difficult one. We've seen some Python shows here before. In fact, you know, there's Fawlty Towers, the dining experience is up here for, you know, the umpteenth time with, you know, a great show. Isn't that a really dangerous thing to bring to Edinburgh?
I suppose it is. Edinburgh is somewhere you really get strong reactions from people, and the show is very much aimed at people who are fans of Python, and they're going to react very strongly to it. I think the key to this play is it references Python all the way through. So if you're a fan of Python, you pick up on lots of stuff that's there. But it's really about a man, a particular man, Graham Chapman, and his specific life. And so that's the real heart of the play, is telling a story of a man and the problems he faced, the demons he had to overcome. So hopefully, as that's the focus of it, I think that's what people are going to sort of see. And the other stuff is sort of some fun to throw in.
How much of a Python fan are you, and did you need to be to write this?
I am a huge Python fan. I'm a little bit young for them, but luckily my parents introduced them to me when I was very young. So I watched all of their stuff. And then, you know, then many, many years later, someone suggested writing about Graham Chapman, and I hadn't thought about him particularly. And yes, I don't think you have to be a huge Python fan to see the show and enjoy it, but in order to find the, you know, be so excited to be able to spend a year writing a play about something and enjoy doing that, that really helped to want to delve that deep into it and find all of the stuff and put all the jokes in. It's about encompassing the style of humour that Monty Python had, and yeah, being a fan of that made that a lot easier.
Now, I'm quite a big fan of kind of artistic progression and development, and we followed you in a really, really fun bit of theatre last year around Edinburgh as you gave us a guided tour. And, you know, I'm not saying this to say that the derivation from Python was, you know, a bad thing, because it wasn't, but there was Python in there, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, definitely. And also some of John Cleese's later stuff with Fawlty Towers. I guess having been influenced by and being a fan of Python, that's always been there in my comedy writing, which is sort of my main interest, is comedy writing. So this just sort of made sense to, well, write about someone who is in Python, and then you can bring out the Python style without it being, instead of just being a sort of vague influence, it can be a really direct reference that enhances the play by being a bit Python-esque. Yeah, I think everything I've written has probably been a bit Python-esque. This time it makes a bit more sense.
How do you find that line between, I guess, what could be, you know, derivation could be tribute and actually is, you know, a story, a biography of somebody, you know, that kind of ended very darkly?
Yeah, well, this definitely isn't some kind of like tribute act to Python. If you come to it, you're not going to come and see, you know, all the best sketches, you know, being redone. It was very clear desire by not to just have it be, you know, rehashing sort of, you know, hanging on the coattails of that stuff. So they're references, they're put in there as you pick up the style of it. But yeah, it is about telling the story of a man whose life, luckily his life itself was very funny and then very tragic. So that's what the real focus is. And it's the narrative of that life and everything else is touched on as you go through. That's what really hangs it together. People's lives in as they actually live them don't necessarily have narratives, but finding one and then telling that story is really fascinating, I think.
What made you choose him out of all of them?
It is sort of an interesting story, I think. We're not too far here in Edinburgh from Stirling Castle, which is where Monty Python filmed Holy Grail. And I happened to be on holiday with my parents, actually, a few years ago, and I'd been asked by the actor in this show if I'd like to write a show for him. I'd seen him do various other shows, and I was really interested in writing something for him because he's a fantastic actor. And I was thinking, who could I write a play about? Who's an interesting character? And someone suggested, oh, Graham Chapman. They'd heard about him. Oh, he died young, and, you know, he's not very well known from Python. I thought, oh, I like Python. And then the very next day, we visited Stirling Castle, and it was all Python-y, you know, all the, it's all, you know, being sold on come and see the place they've filmed Holy Grail. And then in the bookshop, there was the biography of Graham Chapman there. Right, and I thought, well, that's a sign. So I bought that book and read it and realised, wow, he really was a fascinating guy. And that's how I started writing.
But I guess there's two biographies, really. There is the story behind the scenes, but there was also the development of the pythons through the work that you can see. So have you kind of just immersed yourself into the factual stuff backstage, or how much of this actually was inspired by the fact that, probably like me, you've seen them going back to, you know, when Cleese was with Ronnie Barker?
Yes, well, that's the thing. I'd seen all the python stuff. What I hadn't seen until I started writing this was all of the other stuff that leads up to it. So there's so much work in the years before Monty Python is really just coming before, inspiring it, being the same sort of thing, preempting Python. And then, obviously, afterwards... and Graham was mixed up in all of that. He was writing for a long time before Python. All of this stuff was suddenly... A whole new style of comedy was suddenly coming out, and everyone was doing it. And so, yeah, I watched an awful lot of stuff that I hadn't seen before, actually, because I wasn't alive when it was happening, and realising there was so much more around Python. And yeah, that, you know, the facts, you know, you have to read those in order to know what you're writing about. But it's watching all of these videos and reading these scripts from this really exciting period in British comedy history that, you know, gave the inspiration to the play, definitely.
So how do you take all of that research and stage it?
It's really a process of cutting things out. You end up with probably enough stuff for a 5-hour play. And even if you could do a 5-hour play in Edinburgh, no one would want to watch it. So you have to, you pick out all the elements you want to do and you write them down. And the first draft of the script, even after you've cut out the things that aren't relevant to a script, is still going to be far too long. So you cut that down. And it's finding, as I said before, that the narrative in it is really the key. You have to find a story that is an hour long, that hangs it all together. You can put anything in there you like, anything that's funny, anything that's moving, but you have to find a story that people are interested in that lasts an hour and no longer and not any shorter, and then everything will flow around that. Once it was written, it's really... I gave it to George and he went away and learnt it by himself in order to hit the ground running in rehearsals. He just memorised it. He went away for weeks and just went over and over it in his head, so that the first day of rehearsal... He knew it word perfect already, and we were able to spend all of the weeks just going through, creating all the different characters that are in it, creating the exact effect we want to have on the audience. And actually, that's been a long process, because it opened in Buxton 2 years ago. We did our first previews, and then we've worked on it again over those 2 years, behind finding the script, refining the directorial vision, and refining George's acting. So yeah, it's been a 3-year journey to get here in total, and we opened today. It's finally here.
Now, you've done something which a lot of interviewees do. You've mentioned George. Millions of people around the world listening in are now going, who's George?
George Telfer is the star of this show, playing Graham Chapman. Does luckily bear a bit of a resemblance to him, although he bears resemblance to him when he was at the end of his life. The play is about the end of Graham Chapman's life, looking back. So that's quite lucky. He has done an awful lot of one-man shows in his time. He's been an actor all of his life. He's a professional actor. He does panto. He does tours. He's been on EastEnders, Coronation Street. But he's a real star of the one-man show. He's written one-man shows himself. He's done one-man shows other people have written. He's been John Gielgud and Richard Burton and the Duke of Edinburgh. So it's made a lot of sense to write this one-man show for him. He's an incredibly versatile actor, an incredibly charming man. He's sort of one of the, like the kind of, I mean, not that different from Richard Burton himself, I think. The old school of actor where, you know, he's got a million stories to tell you and, you know, charm, you know, anything out of you. And, yeah, it's just fantastic to work with him on this.
And so, given that, you know, he's done his own one-man shows, how much of this has been his interpretation of it? And how much of it has been him as an actor being directed by you?
He does bring an awful lot to it. I think, having worked as a director on a number of shows, he brings more than an ordinary, should say, actor might do, because he's used to doing his own work. Not to say he doesn't take direction, and this is a, you know, lovely mixture of the skills that he has and the skills that hopefully I have, which are very, very different. A lot of the time where you would think, oh, I'll explain to the actor how to create this particular effect that I'm going for, George will do that himself, and you just have to trust him and just give him, you know, the time to develop, and he will do all of that stuff again. And the job of a director and a writer is really just to polish that stuff and to point out, oh, you know, you missed that line, I suppose, and, you know, bring out the things I wanted to bring out. But so much of the effect you want to have on an audience is just naturally inbuilt to him now after having done all these one-man shows, that relationship he has with the audience, and that's the key thing. He will find that himself, yeah.
When Pip Hutton, who's another kind of king of the one-man show, did Adolf, you know, probably not surprisingly, he had card-carrying members of the British National Party and even people, you know, in other uniforms sitting in the front row. You don't just want a bunch of Python fans, though, sitting here waiting for the gag. So how does this come across as a piece of theatre in its own right?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Obviously, Python fans are great, but they have a, you know, an odd reaction to it. And, yeah, the key is to find people who... No, like everyone knows Monty Python, but the people who just sort of know it, and then you can hook them in with that. They haven't heard of Graham Chapman, so you could interest them in the story of his life. You know, I just think it's always interesting to go and hear the story of someone interesting that you've never heard of before. And he has, there's so many references to so many things going on in his life. I really would hope that the way to sell it is see a fantastic piece of theatre that will make you laugh and make you cry about a really fascinating man. And if you happen to like Python and have seen Python stuff, you'll get an extra bonus along the way. But yeah, no, it's about a piece of theatre that's going to captivate people for me.
And so the obvious final question is one I've asked in other shows too, where, you know, someone well-known's been the centre of it. There's a broom cupboard that is at the back of the auditorium, and it just happens to come open 5 minutes into the show, and of course the ghost of Graham Chapman wanders out and sits in the back row of this show and watches it, and then you get a chance to talk to him afterwards. What do you think he'll say?
Goodness me, he'd say something very inappropriate. That was always Graham Chapman's way, I think, and I think he would find it hilarious that someone's written a play about him, and would probably make a big song and dance about it. It touches a lot on the darker sides of his life and the things that he did wrong. And I'll be honest, I don't think he would have a problem with that. I think he'd probably go even further in criticising himself. So I suppose that's not the worry. And he'd probably say something like, "How, you know, how dare you lot steal my life and make a show of it? I love it." He would bring out his extremes to it, and I think he would be honoured. Hopefully. Yes, it's obviously just a mere, you know, shade of what he was capable of as a great man. So I'd have to thank him for giving us such great material.
And thank you, Tom, for giving me such a great interview. And now for something completely different.